Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hey everybody, this is Chad Daniels, and you have landed in the middle of somewhere. Hello, how are you? Thank you for coming back. I am in a new zone in my life with better internet, so it'll be coming in crystal clear. Across from me, as always, is Cyrus Amundson.
Fa-la-la-la-la, la-la-la-la, Chadley. Hello. It's nice to see you. I just spoke with my brother Greg.
Greg, yeah.
And he is currently pulling off, I don't need to rank it, I'm just going to say a great bit. He's currently mid great bit. So
how about this? How about you tell me the bit and I'll rank it?
I love that. And it doesn't have to be the best. I just like, I was going to say the greatest or an all-timer or a Hall of Fame bit. So I wasn't.
Sure. Now, I will tell you, you need to know where I'm coming from. Mm-hmm. I grew up with a guy that grew up next to a guy who had a tree fort, and they had like Playboys and Hustler magazines in the tree fort, and they wouldn't let my buddy up there to look at them.
Okay.
And it was awesome. And they said, this is our tree fort. You'll never get these magazines. How will you ever do it? And he lit the tree fort on fire. So just a heads up.
That's a pretty good bit.
That's like where I'm coming from.
That's a good
bit. Those are kind of people I grew up with.
This is not... okay, so Greg has a niece. Greg, so obviously Greg and I share nephews and nieces because we're brothers, but Greg is married.
Correct.
And
yes.
Through marriage, he has nephews and nieces. And he's got really great nephews and nieces through marriage. And I'm not going to give names.
I call the nieces and nephews through marriage, I call those nieces you can lose and nephews you can lose.
So he has a fair amount of losable children through marriage that he is now an uncle to. And I don't think it's appropriate to give names of children that I'm not related to. I think that's a weird line to cross.
Sure.
But I'm going to tell you, one of his nieces is like a stud volleyball player. Like they won the state championship. She was like on the all tournament team. Like,
nice.
Absolute beast. Gonna probably get to go play college volleyball somewhere. And when you are really good at stuff, they have these high school type combine events.
Right.
And they go and they compete at those, and college scouts come watch. And the world of, and let's also set the table here, the world of high school kids that might get to play college is filled with, I'm going to say, insane parents generally.
Right. Because they have been bringing these kids to practice from the time they were 2 or 3 years old, right? I mean, some hockey players these kids are skating before they're walking. And so they have dumped a lot of time, a lot of weekends, a lot of this. Is it going to pay off? Are they finally going to make it to college? We don't know.
Will they achieve the dream that I never achieved?
That's exactly what's happening.
In the stands while we find out the answer to that information. Now,
right.
I will say Greg's sister-in-law, is that what it is? Is it a sister-in-law that you're married to? Is Tyler my brother-in-law? Okay, yeah. So Greg's sister-in-law and her husband, awesome. They're cool people. They are not in that realm. And here's how you know that. Greg had to go pick his niece you can lose up at the volleyball combine. That's like, and that to me is always a good sign of sports parents, is that they're like, no, you go do your thing.
Right.
We have other stuff. We support you. We care about you. But we don't need to be at every single moment of every single second of every single event. Right. You're doing it because you love it. So they're top of the line.
Well, that's great, because the other side of this is you're getting people screaming. You're getting adults that are yelling the craziest shit, and all you really hear is, "You want to know why I didn't get a scholarship? Mostly because of my personality and my yelling." That's all you really hear coming through.
So
these are the opposite.
So Greg gets to the combine early.
Okay.
Gym filled with parents and, you know, presumably scouts. And he is walking around the gym on his phone.
I already know what this is, and I love it so much.
Walking by parents going, "I don't care if she's a little short for Division One. We have got to offer her now. That is what I'm saying. She has to receive an offer from us now." He is walking by groups of people just running different versions. "I don't care if she's not a senior. We have to get her on campus and offer her." And that, that's such a good bit. That is
it is so good. Now, here's a question. Do you know if when he was saying, like, "I don't care if she's a little short," was he walking by short parents guaranteeing that they would be thinking that maybe it's their daughter? I love this, all of it, so much. We should start, this is going to be the creepiest thing I've ever said. We should start dressing up in suits and going, or whether it's a nice suit, like a suit, or a track suit.
If we're choosing between suits and matching track suits, do you think you and I are walking out of the store with suits?
Yeah. And when you said you and I love it. Let's be scouts from UNI, the University of Northern Idaho.
Either one, Iowa, Illinois. There's a whole bunch of states. Yeah.
There's a lot of I's in team.
Yeah.
Wait, what does that work? I love the bit. And do you know how long he gets to do it?
So until she gets in the car and he drives her home and everybody goes, "Why is that scout taking a kid home?" On the scale of, it's not a burn your friend's treehouse down, but on the scale of bits where that's, I think I wouldn't have been wrong to rank that as an all-timer or a Hall of Famer.
That is an all-timer. I think it is a Hall of Famer. Again, I was dealing with some psychopaths growing up. I mean, they dug a giant hole that took them over a month and laid stuff over it and then chased a kid and made sure he went over the hole and he fell through it. So, yeah, I was dealing with
those aren't really crazy bits people as much as they are crimes. It's not. I think we have different definitions a bit. Like, can we talk about Wrexham? Can we talk about Welcome to Wrexham?
Yeah, can we explain what it is?
Yeah, so Rob McElhaney and Ryan Reynolds, who are famous men,
right,
bought a football
match on the pitch.
They bought a team in Wales in a town called Wrexham, and their idea is to grow it through the promotion relegation system and bring the town and the team back to prominence.
Okay, right. So I'm gonna fill in because we don't know who listens to this. So Ryan Reynolds, obviously you know him from Two Guys, a Girl, and a Pizza Place.
Huge.
And Deadpool.
I'm a huge TGTG and a P guy. Huge TGTG and a P guy.
Yeah. So you know him from that. Rob, you know from, of course, Mystic Quest on Apple Plus.
Yeah.
But probably before that, it's Always Sunny in Philadelphia. Two very, very funny people, but what it comes down to is two guys with giant hearts and giant competitive streaks.
Absolutely. And who does that
sound
like?
And the,
which is going to bring me to my next point.
And the promotion is in football, and on the football match on the pitch. If you don't know this, you actually can leave your league. You can go up or you can go down. It's like constantly changing, which is pretty cool. I know nothing about soccer really other than watching this. And then Ted Lasso. I know from
Ted Lasso,
which, by the way,
we're big Ted Lasso guys.
How good is Ted Lasso knowing that he caused two people that watched his show to just buy a football team that plays matches on a pitch.
So, I have a whole bunch of information that I need to throw out here.
Sure.
One, somebody explained, because, and let's be clear, before the, you, when Ted Lasso came out, you called me and you're like, dude, you have to watch this. And I was like, okay. And then I didn't. And then you call me again.
Because you never listen to me. I always listen to you, but you never listen to me.
And then is that what this is about right now? Is that what we're doing in this moment? Or are we on the same team? For once, we're on the same fucking team. So, which is where I'm going with this. Okay, so you call me again, and the second time I listened to you. And then I called you back and I said, Ted Lasso's the greatest. I love it. You're right. It's the greatest.
Yeah, and I may have brought this up before, but in the second episode of the first season, I rewound a scene 5 times, and Olivia recorded me on her phone because she said, this is what I want to play at your funeral to let people that think you were always crabby know that you laughed a lot, which I think is nice.
By the way, another person I didn't listen to, our wonderful friend Brooks Robinson, told me a long time ago to watch I Think You Should Leave with Tim Robinson. And I know everybody loves that show. And I just hadn't gotten around to watching it. I watched it with my nephew and my brother Jess. And there was a scene. What am I doing? Why am I recapping things that happened? It's fucking funny. The point is, I don't know that I like soccer, but I love Ted Lasso. Right, so we're both guys who didn't care about soccer, and then we loved Ted Lasso. And then I moved to Cincinnati, and my PTs, they are huge soccer. Some of the guys from FC Cincinnati work out at my place, so it's all soccer all the time. So they talk about soccer. And so I start becoming an FC Cincinnati fan, like, sarcastically as a bit.
Okay.
I'm not burning their treehouse down, but it's just a small bit.
I get you.
And then the World Cup is about to happen. And that's exhilarating. And then this show comes out, Welcome to Wrexham. Yeah. And you and I both watched it. And I think both have fully fallen in love with the idea of soccer. Maybe not the gameplay. Like, the gameplay is exciting. The match play, if you will. But so this is what I had somebody explain to me that dinged in my head why I was so into the documentary, other than the fact that it was incredibly well executed, funny, endearing, amazing, dramatic, right? It has everything you want.
It's done very, very well.
It's done very, very well. But somebody said to me, they go, the most socialist thing America does is professional sports. And it's just, there are these leagues that all the owners are in. There's a revenue share. They split money, right? You can't get into the league. They can't get kicked out of the league. It's just like, you're there. It's you guys. You all do. Whereas the club sport model in Europe is pure capitalism. Like, if Chad and I lived in a town probably called something dumb like Stumblethorpe or some shit, right? Mm-hmm. So we live in Stumblethorpe.
I like that name.
Yeah, it's not bad. We live in Stumblethorpe, and we go, you know what? I love playing footy football. Let's start a Stumblethorpe FC, a football club.
Yeah.
And we can do it. And if we play well enough, you know, in whatever local league we join, you know, if we play well enough, we might be able to get into a better league, right? And then you can start, you know, using money to acquire players. And then you can get into the tier system where there's all these tiers, and the very top team or couple teams gets promoted, where if they are the top two teams, they go up a league, and the league above, they go down a league. And so it's this, like, think of it like if the Dallas Cowboys came in last in the NFL and they had to go be in the XFL until they won the XFL again. And
think of it this way. If you've ever played President Asshole, the drinking game, the president gets 2 of your best cards if you're the asshole. And if you're the asshole, you get 2 of the president's worst cards. You exchange.
We also, there are a lot of people who listen to our show because we are fortunate to have more than 8 people who listen. But there are going to be a lot of people who know soccer way better than us. And although we just tried to explain it to people who don't really know it, we probably did that while sounding really stupid to people who actually understand and love it.
That's true, but you have to understand, I'm coming from this soccer thing, right? Before I watched Ted Lasso, I didn't enjoy the game because to me, here's what happens, right? You have referees who are calling different things for different people. There's no uniform rules, it doesn't seem like. It looks like they went to the crowd and they go, hey, do you know anything about soccer? And they were like, no. And they're like, all right, come in here. You have to referee today. And just do whatever the fuck you want. Here's two cards. Hold them up. This one is Uno. This one is Skip-Bo. And just go see. Just go see who yells at you and whatever. And then here's what else is fucking so maddening. You hear women out at bars now and they're saying like, oh my God, he's so hot. And it's like, you want to fuck a man that is rolling around pretending to be hurt for 5 minutes? That grosses me out. I don't care if you can see his abdominal muscles. Let's remember the fact that we didn't see him touch anybody and he fell on his own in slow motion and he's fine. But he's trying to get somebody to hold up the Uno card and it's ridiculous. So there are things I don't like about soccer. But then I watched, remember when both games of the World Cup went to penalty kicks the games?
Yes.
And my world got flipped on its head.
Yes.
Because I was like, I was out of my hotel bed cheering super loudly and being blown away by some of those kicks. I mean, come on. And then my favorite penalty kick is when, so what happens is they put the ball pretty close to the net with nobody guarding the ball.
Sure, yeah.
It's just the person kicking and the goalie. And what happens is a lot of guys will pick a side and they will try to hit it to the side. And then the goalie has to kind of try to outthink them because you can't wait for the kick. You'll miss it. You have to guess what side they're going to. But then there are these ballsy motherfuckers that look to a corner and kick it super slowly. But the goalie has already, he's dove to one side and he's crappy flopping on his side trying to get up as the ball just rolls into the net. It's so funny and so ridiculous. It's like, you ever played foosball when somebody just barely hits it and you pull your goaltender way too far to one side and you just watch it slowly go in? That's exactly what happens and it's awesome.
So now that we've both helped people and infuriated people, that brings us to a couple things. One, I think we should buy a soccer club. I don't know what that means, but I think that's what we should do. But let me tell you.
How much is a soccer club?
I don't know. Is that important in this moment? There's so many soccer leagues. There in the United States, there's the USL Championship. There's the USL Champions League. There's the USL 1, USL 2, NISA, the NPSL. There's so many leagues. And I don't have a lot of money, but how hard can it be? The point is, let me focus where our focus needs to be. That's a dream day. Let me talk. They do something. Okay. It gets showcased a lot. Soccer fans love to sing and they love to chant. And Ryan Reynolds, they have a chant and a song about Ryan Reynolds and McElhaney and this whole thing. And all I could think about, and the star players each have their own kind of chanty song.
Yeah, and they are renditions of well-known songs.
Yeah.
So they're like a Weird Al Yankovic version made for the player with a well-known rhythm and beat. Like, for example, Fring Frong, Kevin the Dog would be considered a soccer chant.
That's probably true, yeah. It fits the definition completely. And this brings me to a larger point. Before I get to the second point, I've been trying to come up with a name for your fans for a while. I think you know that. Chad Heads, the Chatty Babies. A lot of these haven't landed.
Because they suck.
Chad Nation, I think, is very funny. But I think I finally landed on one. I think we have to call your fans Chad Faniels. I think that's fun. And you didn't respond with pure hate, which makes it a little less fun. But I thought you were going to shut the computer and go upstairs. So
no, huh?
I want to call the Chad Faniels. The Chad Faniels. And it's the Chad Faniels. That's the group.
Okay.
But I was thinking, so often, the chants are so specific. And the number one trait for you is a very athletic man who shouldn't be athletic based on the way he looks, right?
Yeah.
It's mentioned off on this show.
Yeah, yeah.
And to get a chant, can you imagine you in front of 10,000 European people, like, his tits hang down to his hip, Chad Daniels, like that sort of stuff?
I love it.
Yeah, I think I think it's really, 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 really strong.
It would be like, we don't want to give him flack, but he broke his fucking back. It's Sai! It's Sai! It's Sai! 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 Something like
You're better at, yeah, that's better than, I mean, if, yeah, that's better than anything I can come up with, maybe. He's got a thick chin. He's here to win. Chad Daniels. Yours is, you have more musical rhythm than me. The point is, I don't know how we go about it. I do know that there is a men's league, just like men's basketball league. There's a men's soccer league in Minneapolis that is promotion and relegation based, and it's got four divisions. And what do we have to do to have a middle of somewhere football club? MOSFC. I think we got to get Ollie Salton on the phone, who's a recurrent guest on our live shows in this show. I think we just, Ollie's a hell of a soccer player. Go, Ollie, you do the soccer stuff. Chad and I will design the jerseys. That's how we will.
But I also, here's where this is going to get sticky.
We love to be general managers. We're really.
If I put money into this and I put effort into it, I'm going to need 15 minutes a game of playing time.
And here's the thing. There's nothing I want more than that. There's nothing I want more than you, because you're not living in Minneapolis. You could play in the league, and there's a real trophy that I think would be a big deal, and you have to start at the bottom. So Ollie and...
Started from the bottom, now we're here.
Ollie and MOSFC would have to go into the bottom league, win their way all the way up to the top league.
Quit saying they, it's we. And anyways,
we would have to win our way up all the way to the top league. And I can't imagine a more fun thing than two men desperate for something to look forward to, like living out some silly version of the. Yeah, I'm in. I just want to do it. I want to do
We are absolutely, without children in sports, we are absolutely the parents in the crowd.
Oh, for sure.
Screaming
for
and
sure.
Living through these talented athletic people. Now, again, I'd like to get a team where we can get a 5-1 lead.
Yeah.
And then I go in for the next last 15. And listen, these guys have played.
Rumble, Stumbo, Chad, here he comes, big and fat. Like, that's the, like, whenever, that's the blowout Chad chant.
Yeah, but normally they only chant when you score. So I don't think I'd have to worry about too many, like,
uncomfortable fat jokes. No, we'll do a special chant for you where you get off the bench. You're like, whenever everybody goes, you just, the moment you stand up to go in, everybody does the wave and goes, whoa!
You know what I would really like is if from the tits down, our jerseys had the same pattern as a soccer ball. And then everyone's like, why would they do that? That's stupid. And then when I ran out there, they'd be like, oh, okay. Yeah, he looks like a fucking soccer ball. This is amazing.
So I think, I don't know. My methodology is, don't call Ollie. It's throw an idea that I just came up with at my friend in front of people listening and hope Ollie hears it. But I think we got to take this to the hilt. I think MOSFC has to be a thing. Now, if you're listening, you're probably saying, cool, I listened to you explain to me something I already knew a bunch of shit about, and then tell me that you're going to do a thing when I know the number one trait of Sai and Chad is you never follow through on anything. But
that's true.
That's the risk in loving us, okay? I can't apologize for who I am.
Yeah. How could you not enjoy hearing amazing ideas that will never come to fruition? How can you not enjoy us muddying the waters so when we come up with brilliant ideas that are going to take a lot of effort and we don't have the time? We do, but we don't want to put in the effort. And so what we do instead is we make a public proclamation declaring that we have come up with this idea. That way, in 5 years, when somebody goes, I'm going to buy a football club in Minneapolis and we're going to try to get them relegated. Be like, yeah, bitch, of course you are. We had that idea.
We've been there. We've been there.
Yeah.
We've absolutely been there. So
you fucking hack. Yes.
Hack. You hack motherfucker. What are you going to talk about your kids on stage too? Quit stealing the show's ideas. No, hey. I said quit stealing our ideas.
Oh, I see what you mean. Okay.
Okay, so we're in. This is a plan. We're doing it. We'll talk to Ollie. Now, the question is, do we completely trust Ollie with the football operations? Do we, you know?
I mean, okay, that, I think to me that's a two-part question. Do I completely trust Ollie Sultan?
Yes.
Without, sure. Yes, absolutely. Yep. Yep. Without absolutely. Question. I think he is a fantastic man. Do I trust him with the thing I want to do? I mean, I trust him, but I don't want him to do it because I want to do it.
Right. And do you think
he's going to give me 15 fucking minutes? You think he's going to give me 15 minutes of playing
time?
Well,
yeah, we can make, you know, we can come down. Yeah, that's one of those. Again, I have been a part of enough basketball teams that were bad that I understand you're going to. It's not uncommon to see the Chads of the world on the court. It happens. I don't think we go through a whole season without Chad showing up on the pitch, if you will.
When there's a blowout in any sport, it's like, let's get the sophomores off the bench. Mm-hmm. Let's get them a little bit of playing time.
Yours is spelled S-O-F-T-M-O-R-E, and there's a space.
There's actually a comma, so you read it like a phone book. So it's actually more soft.
Okay, I'm in. I needed that. I need something because I, you know, is it? I had to buy a freezer this week because my old freezer stopped working, and we went to pick it up.
Look at me. Where's Jenna? Look at me. Where's Jenna, Sai?
She's here. She's present.
Do we know? Do
she's
we know?
She's present. She's
Has
not
somebody
in the
seen
freezer.
Her?
She's present.
Has somebody seen her? Okay.
She's present.
Okay. I've been listening to too many weird podcasts. Thank you.
We took my good friend Cody and my nephew and my brother to go pick up the freezer. And then it was that point where the freezer was in the back of the truck and we had to secure it. And that's when out come the ratchet straps. And there is almost nothing that makes me feel like less of a man than someone handing me a ratchet strap. I feel like I might as well just never, like, I shouldn't tell people I had a dad because somebody will go beat him up. Like, I'm like, oh, yeah, because when you crank it and then you want to, like, I convince myself, like, no, just, you'll figure it out this time. Just fucking go stick it, clank it in there and start adjusting and it'll work. And that's worse. Yeah. You should just go, sorry, I'm not a real boy. Somebody else has to do the ratchet straps, but you go try it and then you fail in front of them instead of just admitting you're not a man.
Yeah. 70% of the time that I use ratchet straps, I end up tying it. I just end up tying it like it's a piece of twine. 25% of the time, I find myself at home in my bedroom rocking back and forth going, just make it click. Just make it click. Just make it click. Just make it click. And then 5% of the time it works by some fucking miracle because the last person to use them didn't take them out. They just left them as they should be. And so they work.
When I went and bought a bunch of wood for my deck and it like shot out the back of the pickup truck I was using, as I was leaving here, the person goes, make sure you strap down the wood so it doesn't come out going down the highway. And I answered in a way like, fucking, yeah, I know. And then I got in the car and I was like, please let one of these guys be willing to do a ratchet strap in the Menards lumberyard. And they weren't. And so, yeah, I drove like 14 miles per hour home with a bunch of loose boards in the back of my truck.
Jesus Christ. Oh, my God.
I can't, like, I was like, should I go to the parking lot and try to find a man with some facial hair and be like, hey, I'm a cuck. And I need help. Like, what do you do in that situation? You just lie, you know? You just have to lie. You just have to be like, yeah, I used the strap.
Well, so you don't have a problem walking into a Taco Bell and telling teenagers that you have a disease, but at this place, you couldn't just tell the guy, you're like, hey, I can't do it. My shoulder doesn't work.
No, the reason that they couldn't do it is, I don't know if you've been to Menards, but the cool thing is you order the wood in the back of the fucking store. And then you march, I don't know, mile and a half through the store back out to the parking lot. Then you get in your truck and you bring your truck around to a gate. And that guy, here's a fun fact, the guy at the Menards gate, independent contractor, not fucking employed by Menards, technically. So.
Not employed by Menards.
Then you hand him a sheet of paper, and he checks to make sure you have a proper receipt. And you're a fucking stupid person. So the thing you think is a receipt is actually an order sheet. And so then you drive your truck back, and you get in, and you walk another mile and a half, all the way back to where you ordered the wood. And there's a guy standing there holding a receipt. And from 15 feet away, he goes, "Thought you might need this. Well, maybe you should have said that when I was walking away, you old fuck. I know that was his Super Bowl when I left." He goes, "Young fella gonna be back on this one." But come on, man. Look at how I'm walking. I don't do this trek easy. Then you go back through the store. You get in your car. You go back to the gate agent who doesn't work at Menards and in no way, shape, or form will let you go through the gate to drive to the lumberyard ordering place, which would have been fucking closer by truck. Then he lets you through. Then you go back, and there's two guys helping people, and they are as fast as they are motivated. And you wait 45 minutes to an hour because you can't load the lumber yourself, and then they load it, and somebody else is like, "Hey, could you help me with this thing here?" And they're gone. And you don't want to go, "Hey, could you come back and help me ratchet strap it?" And then you drive slowly home with loose lumber in your car. So that's how, that's the play-by-play.
Well, I can see why you're upset about it. Mm-hmm. I can also, what's the over-under on how many times you told someone or at least thought, "Suck Menards"?
A bunch of times. What if we call our team the Lumber? Now, what's your stance on the whole, you know, there's some of the soccer teams, they have names like the LA Galaxy or the Houston Dynamo, which are two of the worst names I've ever heard. And then there's other teams that are, you know, FC Cincinnati, or they're just the city or area name and football club or something like that. What, where do we stand on that? Are we more of a MOSFC, or do we have a team name? Like, you know, and all the good team names are gone, so we'll probably sound like a WNBA team.
Yeah, I mean, I think that you're not going to get a lot of momentum. I mean, you look at the Minnesota hockey team, had to go with the Wild.
Ugh.
So I love the team, love to support them, but that's just, I mean, that's because they were running out of words, I think.
Yeah.
And then North Stars was the greatest sporting team name of all time. The fucking North Stars. Come on, bro.
It's even more than that. We are home to the two, in my opinion, greatest sports names potentially of all time. The Minneapolis Lakers. We were the Minneapolis Lakers. That is fucking all time in those baby blues and yellows. And I agree with you on North Stars, I think.
And then they kept the name when they went out by the ocean.
They're
the Lakers by the ocean.
Whole another.
But yeah, the North Stars was great. And I'm going to tell you something, and I'm going to say this in front of you and in front of the listeners. I'm going to say that if I ever see Norm Green, who was the owner of the North Stars that changed their name from the North Stars to the Minnesota Stars just so he could move them down to Dallas and call them the Dallas Stars, I will sexually assault him. I'm just telling you that right now. So whatever, I don't know if you can pre-cancel me, like whatever that, you know, movie with the Tom Cruise Minority Report with the three siblings in the pool trying to figure out what I'm going to do next. But I'm telling you, I would do that, and that's no problem. I would like to, with a lot of stuff on my mind right now. Mm-hmm. Number one, I did think about you not ratchet strapping the wood down, putting your truck in reverse, going super fast and hitting your brakes really hard, so all of the lumber came out and just impaled all the people that work there. That's something I would do, and I'm happy to hear that you did not do that. I also just Googled Cincinnati Menards incident, and nothing came up from this year. So that's good. And lastly, what would our name be?
The Menards Incident is a good team name.
The Incidents, yeah. I think, I mean, if you were going to do something about Minnesota, it would have to be something about freezing or the mosquitoes or, you know.
I hate that. No, let's just go with MOS FC.
Done.
His beard is gone. His hips are long. His, oh, no, hold on. Couldn't do it. It's one note joke. You're fat.
I like, ooh, geez, so aggressive.
I think every once in a while you need to hear the way you talk about yourself, because we use all these cute terms that don't have the, like, you essentially talk about yourself like, I'm a fat, worthless fuck. But you do it in this cute way that everybody's like, come on, Chad, you're just joshing around. You need to be nicer to yourself.
I am adorable. So here's something that we could do, right? This could be a song for the whole team. M-I-C-K-E-Y. What? How's it go? M-O-S-F-C.
Oh, that's fun.
That's pretty good.
That's fun.
That's pretty good.
Now, if we could...
Except we'd have to change it from Mickey to something.
Yeah, something other than
Mickey. Yeah, they'd have to be different letters. But that's the rhythm to it because of the M-O-S-F-C.
That's really great.
Here we go. So it's... okay, I got the last part. Here, we're ready. Mm-hmm. Okay, but this is, we still need to come up with the Mickey thing, but I'm going to use Mickey for now. Mm-hmm. M-I-C-K-E-Y-M-O-S-F-C, fuck your mom. Yeah. Fuck your mom!
They get really aggressive. We should just name this episode Midlife Crisis.
It is adorable that you think I'm in my midlife right now.
Yeah, no, that's probably...
I'm going to have to call it my two-thirds life crisis. Hey, define happiness.
Define happiness?
Yeah.
Well, brother...
Yeah, look at what you're doing right now. You had to look up to the left because your brain is activated and it's thinking. This is a question that was asked of me Saturday Late Show in Austin, Texas at Cap City from a crowd member. After I told the crowd I didn't like them and they needed to get their shit together. This was the last show of a year and a half long tour. And he said, define happiness. Another guy yelled out, can I tell you a joke? I said, you sure fucking can, because I'm done. It was the craziest shit in the world.
Was the define happiness in a lull of a moment? Was this one of these things where the room had gone low and that's where he chose it? Or was it in the midst of mayhem? Because those are two very different things.
I can't remember exactly what was happening, but I do know this. It felt very much like he had been pacing all afternoon, practicing. Just like, define happiness. Nope, that's too aggressive. Define happiness. That sounds too much like a pothead. And he's just, you could tell he was practicing and practicing. Define happiness in a crowd full of people that were way too drunk to be in public. You know what I'd like to do?
Uh-huh.
I would like to call 911 during those shows and be like, hey, is this the police? I have a shooting fish in a barrel situation right now. If you would like to come give public indecency tickets to this entire fucking audience. Now, that's not fair because it wasn't the entire audience, but because there were people that had driven from Kansas and all over in Texas. I mean, they'd come from all different places to be to the show. And so I kind of had to look at them and be like, I have to continue through this fucking nightmare because I don't know if somebody bought a plane ticket, gas money, hotel rooms, babysitter, all that shit.
Or even it's their one night out, yeah.
Right. So I don't want to drive a stake into their heart. I just wish there were like little smart bombs where there was no collateral damage, where you could just ping, ping, ping. Because I did tell people, I said, I want 20% of you guys to get in a car accident on the way home. But here's the thing. Not 20% of the groups. I mean, 20% of the people. So like if there's a tabletop of six that is super wasted, then yeah, you're all in the same car going home. That's like one accident. But you're all in it. So it was aggressive and it was a long last show. But then the people that did travel were so nice afterwards that it really does. Here's what I wonder sometimes. Am I, with my ability to sell, could I get the people that really had fun at the show to murder the people that ruined it?
Right. Are you basically what you're asking is, are you in the David Koresh, Charles Manson? Do you have the cult leader or have people kill
yes,
for you
right,
abilities?
Right.
You for sure
I
do.
Have,
yeah.
I have been told on occasion that I'm charming.
Yeah.
And so I wonder if that's like a skill I possess. Could I talk someone into loading the back of their pickup truck with 2x4s, putting it in reverse as fast as they can, and then stopping quickly right outside of the door as I hold my hand up when the offending parties are leaving the show?
Yeah, I mean, you have, let's be real. You have, and we've discussed this. This is a throwback for longtime listeners. You have everything there to, you know, be a, some sort of psychopath, right?
Absolutely.
The
yeah.
way just your father's behavior alone is a, that's an origin story. I would say, I think the fact that your mom was so great and made sure she always probably knew where you were at when you were really young, because if one of those times when your dad abandoned you or did something that really hurt you, if you'd have walked outside and seen like a cat get hit by a fucking semi or something and went like, whoa, 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 and then you're like, wait, why did I laugh? And now you're like, do I have an erection? And then it's over. Like,
yeah.
You had, there was enough going on with your dad that if you had been triggered in the wrong way, like he kicks you out of the car that he stole, you know, using a key you copied, and that's when you see like some fucked up violence, and now that's the only way you can get off the rest of your life. I think we dodged a bullet. So are you capable? Yes. Will you? No, I don't think it turned out that way.
No, I don't think so. Yeah. I love how you broke that down, because like, it's safe to go in my basement. You're never going to find bodies.
Mm-hmm.
But that I can only come to that poster of that kitty hanging on the branch with hang in there. Because I think, like, we don't know what happened, right? He could have fallen all the way to his death.
The other day? Oh, man. Speaking of being emasculated, I don't know what's happened. Like, I don't want anything to be hurt. But I wonder if, like, being sick and kind of miserable, you develop this empathy for anybody else who's struggling in any way. And so, like, mm-hmm. I hate seeing animals die now.
Of course.
And yeah. I think we've probably talked about stuff like this in the road. But, like, a squirrel ran out onto the road with Jenna in the car. And I kind of hit my brake, slammed, swerved. But then the squirrel did that thing, you know, where you try to not hit a squirrel. And then the squirrel's like, no, 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 hit me. And it, because it doesn't understand what cars are. So you're trying to stop, right. And then it does an extra thing that the way you're stopping, it puts itself in even more danger. And I just barely miss a squirrel. I wouldn't be surprised if I flattened its tail. And I made a noise like, like this gasp.
Yeah.
And Jenna looked at me and like patted me and she goes, that was cute. And it was pretty, it was a pretty
first
big
of all,
bummer of
yeah.
a moment.
I know
bummer,
that scene with the squirrels coming back into the road, it's very much like when you try to move at the same time as someone walking towards you on a sidewalk, and it ends with one of you going, wanna dance, right? Like that thing.
Yes.
But Dave Huntsberger has such a funny bit about reincarnation and coming back. I don't want to give it away, but coming back as a squirrel finally. And I mean, I guess I am going to give it away, but he's basically saying like, you, when you avoid a squirrel that's clearly trying to get hit and sent back into the ether to come back as something else, and you avoid hitting the squirrel, you're actually just being an asshole, because that squirrel wanted nothing more than to get sent back into the galaxy to put in a different body to come back and try again. It's such a funny bit. I am butchering the shit out of it, but it's fantastic.
I have now thought about it, and I know how I define happiness.
Okay.
Ollie Salton and the boys getting promoted after our first season in the league in Minneapolis. Let's go. MOSFC. MOSFC.
Fuck you to mom! Fuck your mom!
Hey, if you guys like this, there will be a new episode next Monday and every single Monday at 8 a.m. So click the subscribe button so your phone sends it to you without having to do any work.